people should look at your life and say, there is a person who must go to church. There is a person that must live for God. Well, how do you know? Because look how they're living. They're living a Christian life. Believers should be able to look at you and know you.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Word Illuminates and was recorded live at the Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today we're going to be talking about Psalm 119, 105, and I'll be reading now the NIV. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. How many of you guys know that life is a maze? How many of you have thought you knew your way around life only to find out that you're lost? You don't have all the answers, do you? In the maze of life, it is often easy for us to become lost, confused, and at times even afraid. However, God's word is always there for believers to illuminate our footsteps and to shine light on the way we should go. Have you ever thought that you were completely lost in a situation and you didn't know which way to turn? You had no idea. Believers don't have to be that way, because believers have the holy word of God if they choose to study it, memorize it, and apply it to their lives. First of all, I want to say that God does the illuminating. Look at the first part of the verse. It says, your word. It's not your education. It's not your bank account. It's not your cool friends. Those things will get you so far. And they're all good things to have. Amen. But it is God's word that does the illuminating. Make no mistake. Even if you're a Christian and you know just about everything you could possibly know about the word, that don't make you smarter than God. It is still him that does the illuminating. Only God's word has enough light to show us where we need to be, how we need to go about getting there, and what to do once we arrive. I don't have the answers. I never planned on having a church. It was never in my mind to do this. But God knew where I needed to be. And he knew which direction I had to take to get there. And now, once I'm here, I'm still in his word, asking him, what do I do now that I'm here? Amen? You need direction every single day of your life. But the problem is, sometimes we grow up and we say, I can live my life any way I want to live. Mommy and daddy can't tell me their house rules no more. But there is somebody that is still in charge. Whether you believe in him or not, in his name is God the Father. That's why he wears the title of Father, right? And whether or not you believe he's in charge, you will suffer consequences if you step out of his word. Oh, you might get away with it for a while, but it's coming. So we have to believe that it is God that does the illuminating. And if we believe that, we're going to be watching for his light. Amen? However, many false religions claim to have the answers. You know, there's a lot of false religions out there. One of them is the horoscope. They're going to tell you how your day is going to be and how your week is going to come out. Many false religions claim to have the answers, but only the word of God delivers. I've seen miracles from the word of God. I've seen them. Pastor, you're crazy. I've seen miracles. I have seen things that I could tell you and you wouldn't believe. You just wouldn't believe. And listen, it works because God is behind it and working through it. That's why it works. If you take the word of God and you apply it to your life, things are going to get better. Will all your problems go away? No. But will you have peace through your problems? Yeah. See, that's the difference between a Christian and a person who doesn't believe. A Christian knows who's in charge, God. And when you know he's in charge, you know that he's got the best interest in mind for you. So then you stop being afraid. You stop stressing. You stop worrying, knowing, Lord, if you're doing your will in my life, I'm going to be safe because you care about me. But if you don't believe that he cares about you, if you don't believe that he cares about you, you're not going to believe in his word. How many of you guys listen to someone you know don't care about you? You don't take their advice, do you? That's why we have to have faith. We have to believe. Unlike so many other things that change over time and come and go, because you know there's always a new fad, right? There's always something new saying I'm bigger and better. Man, they're just repackaging it. That's all they're doing. But God's word is forever and ever. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the one thing that's not going to change. This is the one thing that you can rely on. It's not going to change tomorrow. Amen? The Holy Spirit lives inside of every believer. And it is he who teaches us, guides us, and reminds us of God's word. Don't you know that you can't do it on your own and you never were meant to do it alone? See, there's a Holy Ghost that's inside of you, right? The Holy Ghost is inside of you, and he's going to tell you what you need to do. But listen, why are you starving him? You got to eat, right? If you want to get up in the morning and go to work, you got to fuel your body, right? And if you skip breakfast, lunch, and dinner, how are you going to feel the next day? Weak? Tired? What if you didn't drink anything for a couple of days? How are you going to feel? Listen, if you don't drink the word of God, you're going to get spiritually weak. You're going to get spiritually worn out. The Holy Ghost needs to be fed. Listen to what it says in John 14, 27. But the counselor, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Listen, it's good to remember scripture. It's fantastic to study it. But when the trials of life come, and you're about to make that wrong step, there's this little voice says, don't do that. How many of you guys have heard that little voice and you did it anyways? And what happened? Because listen, God ain't going to control you. Second, God's word illuminates our walk with him. Our walk. What is your walk? Your walk is your obedience. I don't know how to behave. Our flesh wars against God. The Bible teaches that, our flesh. So we have to get it in check. The only way we could do that is by watching for the illumination that God gives us in our Christian walk. Listen to what it says. Your word is a lamp to my feet. This is my Christian walk. Because listen, without the word of God, all you have is darkness around you. It's like a veil. And you can't put your hand in front of yourself. Do this. All you see is you. All you see is you without the word of God. That's selfishness. But you start putting the word of God into your life and you start seeing other people and how God cares about them. And then he illuminates your walk. The Christian walk is impossible to achieve without the application of God's word. Now, I said application, didn't I? I didn't say knowing it. Obviously, you got to know it to apply it. I know a lot of people that can recite Bible scripture and talk up a big storm about the Holy Word of God, but they're not living their life in alignment with it. They're not applying it to their lives. You don't impress me with how much you know about God. I will know that you are a Christian by the fruits that you display of the Holy Spirit live through your life. If you want to impress me, you need to start impressing God because I'm nobody. The word of God illuminates our walk of faith. It gives us guidelines, commandments, and encouragement. Okay, so there's guidelines, right? Not supposed to steal, are we? Are we supposed to be lying? Are we supposed to be gossiping about other people? Are we supposed to be murdering one another? Are we supposed to be jealous? So that's guidelines. Our guidelines tell us this is where you walk. You don't step out from the left or to the right. You walk along this grid. The guidelines are always good when they work for us, right? But when God is telling us that you're not supposed to be doing this, we don't like them so much, do we? Then there's commandments. You know, God commands us to be in church every Sunday. We're to be here. I understand that there are circumstances that are beyond our control, and we can't always make it. And that's understandable, but there are commandments. Okay, we're to love one another. We're to love one another, and we're to love the people in the world. Even the non-believers are to be loved by us. If they do us wrong, we're not supposed to curse them. We're not supposed to call our friends up and talk bad about them. We're not supposed to be gossiping. And God commands us not to gossip. He commands us to love one another. So yes, the Word of God illuminates these things. But guess what else it does? It gives us encouragement. Did you know that walking in the Word of God is tough work because your flesh is constantly fighting you? Man, I don't want to go to church today. I'll go next week. I just sleep in a little longer. I don't want to read my Bible this morning. I'll read it tonight. Then tonight comes, you'll be, oh, I'm too tired. I'll read it tomorrow morning. Amen? And then someone comes along and says, you know what I read in the Bible? I read such and such. I read that God's word is a light to your feet and a lamp for your path. You did, and that's encouraging, and it makes you want to get up and read it. Praise God. Does somebody see what I'm saying? There's encouragement in the word of God. The Bible says that you can cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you, right? That's encouragement. The Bible says, I'll never leave nor forsake you. That's encouragement. But we always try to look for encouragement from our friends. And we find out that they don't have all the answers, do we? God's word illuminates sin in our lives. And it also illuminates what pleases God. Listen, if you sin, God's going to let you know about it. Believers have this. Non-believers don't have this. Did you know that a person who does not believe in Jesus Christ doesn't even know when he's committed a sin? He's oblivious to it. That's why when you look at people and they're just awful, you say, how can he be like that? What's the matter with him? Because he's dead in his transgressions, the Bible says. He's dead to it. He don't even get it. He doesn't even know he's living an ungodly life. But a Christian, the word of God illuminates. Oh, you should not have done that. That was a sin. And when he illuminates it, we are to come and ask for forgiveness, but not before we repent. We got to remember the repentance, right? That means you're going to stop sinning, right? But he also illuminates what pleases God. You do something that pleases God, he is going to illuminate that too. He's going to let you know that was the right step to take. Just keep following me and I'm going to get you there. Just keep sowing good seeds. The problem is that we live in a microwave generation now. If I can't have my din-din in 2 minutes microwaved, then I'm going to throw a fit. Praise God. But listen, when you do something that pleases God, he's going to make sure you know about it. Do some stuff, and God will come to you. All right, third, God's word illuminates our direction in life. Direction, which way you're supposed to go. A light for my path. God has a plan for each of us. His word illuminates the path we should take. Do you know that God has a plan for your life? The more we read of God's word, the more we start seeing the direction he's taken us in. The word says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Isn't that a beautiful promise? But Pastor, I don't see it. That's because you're not living it. You're not living it. I couldn't see the church. until I started living what God was commanding me to live in His Word. Just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. Because with that logic, you might as well stop breathing. Because you can't see the air around you, you might as well just quit breathing. It's not real. Listen, not only does He have plans, but He knows the plans. I know what some of you think. When you get into trouble, you're thinking, man, does God know about this trouble? Or is He as surprised as I am? I bet you God's worried right now. No, God already knows the plans He has for your life. And He's waiting on us to align ourselves with those plans. But you got to read the guidelines so that you can be ready for the plan, right? You got to get informed as to how the plan unfolds. And these plans are to prosper you, spiritually prosper you. It's your spirits that are down. More money ain't going to raise your spirits because you're going to have more problems with more money. Nicer cars and nicer furnitures and nicer things is not going to make your spirits raise up if you don't got Jesus. Because you can't take none of it to the grave. Somebody else is going to be enjoying your stuff. And not to harm you. Why did God put that in there? I tell you why. People say, I can't pray for God's will. He might do something to me I don't like. Be honest with yourself. How many of you are afraid to actually pray the will of God into your life? We got two honest people. Because you're afraid He might do something that will hurt you, right? Well, it is true that if you're way behind following Him and you say, Lord, do Your will, there's some catching up to do, right? And there might be some drastic changes in your life He might have to do that you will be uncomfortable with. But they're not going to harm you. These are going to be good changes that are going to change not only your life, but everybody's life around you. But as long as you hang on to the life that you got, the longer it's going to take for God to get you from point A to point B. You're your own worst enemy when you do not submit to God. And then He wants to give you a hope, plans to give you a hope. A hope. What is that hope? Is the hope to get a better job with more money, with more things? Because you're going to grow old. If you're lucky, you'll grow old. And you're going to die. So what are those things worth? The hope is eternal life in Jesus Christ, because there's a better life coming. If this is all you have to live for, you might as well get up out of the pew right now, go out and enjoy your life to the fullest, and don't worry about who you hurt. And we already know about a lot of people that do that already, don't we? They live their life like that, don't they? They don't care who they hurt. They make choices that benefit themselves, that pleases themselves. And before you know it, everybody, including themselves, are hurting in the end. Because God didn't design it that way. Amen? And then that hope is our future. Our future is with God eternally and forever. Only Christians can rely on the Word of God to show them the next step to take. Only Christians. Non-believers don't get this. If you're a believer in Christ, you got something that the world don't got. Start taking advantage of it. This is a precious thing. This is a commodity in your life. This is an asset. Isaiah 30, 21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Walk in it. You're about to do something you shouldn't do, and there's that little voice we talked about, right? Don't do that. Go this way. Go over there and bless this brother. Go over there and bless this sister. You never know where God's going to take you when you start obeying. But only Christians can claim this. Christians can hear the Lord calling to them and giving them guidance. You can hear God calling you. He speaks through many forms. He speaks through pastors. He speaks through Christian friends when the words line up biblically. Right? He's not going to tell you to steal. He's not going to tell you to lie. He's not going to tell you to gossip. That's not in his word to do that, right? But he will talk to you. John 10:27, this is Jesus speaking. Listen to what he says. My sheep, that's us. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. If you're not following Jesus, are you his sheep? I'm not saying that you might not wander off the trail every now and then. Even sheep do that. But if your whole life dictates that you don't listen to Jesus when he calls you, don't you think maybe you need to check your relationship with the shepherd? You might be the black sheep. You don't want to be a black sheep. You want to be the sheep that listens to the word of God and does it. That's how we win. And fourth, God's word illuminates so that believers will shine with his light. You know, there's a reason why God wants to illuminate your feet and illuminate your path, because he wants you to illuminate for someone else. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. Listen, if people don't get, listen, if you don't get someone in the church, who's going to do it for you? If you don't live the Christian life as an example, who is? Do you want to be the Christian that takes people to church and say, look how they're living for God in here? Oh, don't look at me. I don't live this way. But these are good people. Do you want to be that kind of a person that you're the only Christian in the house of God that's not living like a Christian? You go to work and people say, I never would have known he was a Christian or she was a Christian had they not taken me to church and I saw the real Christians hanging out there. I had somebody invite me to church. I didn't even know they knew how to spell it. You go to church? Man, does the pew smoke when you sit down? I'm sorry, but your witness should speak in reference to your faith. Did somebody hear that? Your witness should speak on behalf of your faith. People should look at your life and say, there's a person who must go to church. There's a person that must live for God. Well, how do you know? Because look how they're living. But they never talk about that much about it. I don't ever hear anything come out of their mouth. I don't even know the person. But look how they're living. They're living a Christian life. Believers should be able to look at you and know you. Not because they heard you talking. I'm a Christian. I know all kinds of scripture. And you don't even know how to live for God. Christians are to share the good news of Jesus with others. We are to be God's light in this world. Now, what kind of a light am I when I see my brother or sister in need and I don't help them? What kind of a light am I when I see my brother or sister committing a sin and I don't rebuke them? It is proper to see somebody who is lying, gossiping, stealing, destroying themselves and others to stand up and say, hey, stop. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting other people. That's not the way to live. There's nothing wrong with that. Many people today do not consult the word of God. They rely on themselves or others to make decisions. Christians are not to be this way. Don't call your friends up who don't go to church and ask them what you should do in a situation. If these people aren't even obeying God by coming to church, why are you calling them up for advice? You know how dangerous that is? If you see a friend who curses people out, cusses them, yells at them, has no patience, are you going to call them up for advice on patience? You have to go to the Word of God and find out what it is saying. Call your minister, call your pastor, call your Christian friend. Get the book out. What does this say? What does the Bible say about this? What does God have to say? What's his opinion? Because I've been listening to myself too long and I've seen what that got me. And my friends, they don't even know how to live their own life. Why am I calling them for? Why is that? Why do we call our friends who are in bigger messes than we are? Why do we do that? Their life ain't no better. Without the word of God, people eventually find themselves on a path of failure rather than a path to blessings. And then discouragement comes in because, listen, you've lived your life the way other people have told you to live it. You lived your life the way you saw other people living their life. And they didn't get away with it, and you're not getting away with it. And so now you're at the end, and you say to yourself, well, I don't have nothing to show for my life. But failure. Because I didn't listen to what God was trying to tell me when I turned on the radio and I heard the preacher man yelling it through the speaker. I just turned the station and listened to my boogie-woogie music. The music that talks about sex and parties and drinking and living life free. That's what I want to listen to. I want to listen to my music that makes me feel free. But sin does not give you freedom. Sin will put you in such a deep bondage that nothing but Jesus can break the chains. But you got to submit. You got to submit. If you want to be a slave to sin, just keep living the life that you're living apart from God, and it will gladly enslave you. So in conclusion, God's word shows us the right way we should go every time. There is no question about it. If God tells you to do it, you can trust in it. You can believe in it. It may not make sense. You may not understand it while you're doing it. But you never had the answers anyways. That's why you're looking for them, right? You just got to believe that that's where you should be and what you should do. But Pastor, I tried being a good guy at work. I tried being a nice woman. I tried all these things, and people still hate me. So what? Are you trying to please people? That's pride. I don't please everybody. I can't please everybody. God's word often tells us where to go and when to go and even with who to go, but rarely tells us how or why. This takes faith. Now listen to this. God's word often tells us where to go. But often we don't want to go there, do we? We want to go our own way. Well, I know that Jesus is over there, but I need to be over here because I feel like it. Amen? This is where I want to be. No, it isn't. You just feel that way. And what about when to go? But God, I need it now. I need it now, God. I can't wait. I got no patience. And God says, no, don't go yet. Don't do it. No. And then we run into it. Okay, God, I'm here. But I didn't tell you to go yet. Where's my blessing? I didn't tell you to be here yet. I'm early. I know. What do I got to do? Wait. No, I don't want to wait. With who to go? Well, since I'm early and this passerby is coming, I'll just go with them. Because I'm early, I'm out of the timing of God. So I'm just going to follow anyone and anything. But if you listen, he'll tell you this stuff. Okay? But rarely will God tell you how it's going to happen. James, you're going to have a church. What? With who? With your wife. Oh, when? When I tell you. How? I ain't telling you nothing about that. It's just going to be a miracle. Okay? When the time came, he said, go. Yes, Lord, but I'm scared. Go. I'm going, but I'm scared. Keep going. Why me, God? Why? I don't need to tell you that. Who am I to be a pastor of a church, God? I don't need to tell you that. You wouldn't understand the answer. See, there's some things that if God gave you the answer, you still wouldn't get it. You still wouldn't get it. And some of us right now, the Lord is telling me, why would God want anything to do with me? This works for the pastor because he must have been a good Christian his whole life. No, I haven't. Some of us are asking, what does God want to do with me? You know, the pastor's had his life all figured out because he's always listened to God. Or the Christians that have it made, they're just smarter than me. That's not true. Moses was a murderer. Moses, who delivered the Israelites, he killed an Egyptian, murdered them. And you know what? Did he get away with it? No, he was exiled for 40 years in the desert. He was living in a palace with the Pharaoh. He was royalty, but he killed somebody, and Pharaoh wanted to kill him because that's the law. You kill an Egyptian, you die. So Moses had to run. And he was 80 years old when God called him. 80. He was an old man. And what did he say to the burning bush? Who am I to lead your people? And he kept making excuses why I can't do it. And the anger of the Lord burned against him. But he didn't believe. And he could have missed the blessing. But more than that, out of his disobedience, if he would have disobeyed God, the Israelites would have lost their blessing. Every time that one of us disobeys God, we not only lose, but the people we care about lose. Other people lose. Every time the devil tells you to keep your tithe money to yourself, the church hurts as a whole. Every time the devil says, stay home and don't come to church, somebody loses because they're looking for you in the pews. Disobedience not only hurts you, but it hurts other people. Amen? That's why we need the Word of God to illuminate which direction we're to take so that we can bless other people and be that light. The most illuminated thing in God's Word is salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Every single page illuminates the need for Jesus Christ to be our Savior. That is the number one focus in the Bible, is Jesus. But you know, God told me something. He says, it is true that the number one focus in the Bible is my Son, Jesus. But you want to know why? Because the number one focus in my Word is you. That's almost an oxymoron, isn't it? Think about this. The reason why God illuminates Jesus Christ so bright in the Bible is because He loves you so much. Because He loves you so much that He has given everything to keep you. But the only thing that He cannot do is to take you from yourself. If you want to hang on to yourself, you will lose your life. It'll be over one day. And if you don't want to be with God now, you won't want to spend all of eternity with Him. There's people that can't even give God a couple hours on Sunday, a few minutes in His Word throughout the week. But they want to spend eternity with Him. That's not a relationship. Anybody in here that's ever been married, try doing that with your spouse, spending a few hours with them a week, and see how that works out for you. The relationship falls apart. You have to spend time together to grow together. This is the altar call. I would ask that we would remain quiet during the altar call. If there's anybody in here today, and I know of a few that need some prayer, I would pray that you would come up here. But before I do that, I want to mention something in Matthew 10:33. But whoever denies me, this is Jesus speaking, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. You want to deny God and His Son, Jesus Christ, in front of people? Then He's going to deny you. Because you know we're the same way, right? If someone disses you, you're going to diss them, right? Someone disrespects you, they're going to act like they don't know you. Then when they come up to you one day, you're going to act like you don't know them. Because you really don't. Because you've been denied that friendship. Don't let that happen to you. Don't worry about what the people in the pews next to you are thinking or feeling about you. This is your relationship with God. This is serious business. This is your eternal soul on the line. This is your relationship. Why should something keep you from Jesus? So whoever you are, if you have not accepted Jesus, maybe you think you have, but you're not sure, it's okay. Ask Jesus to save you. Listen, here's a prayer, and you could say something similar to this. Lord, I am sorry for my sins, and I turn away from them right now. I ask you to forgive me. You got to ask Him. You got to come to Him and say, listen, I've done some things wrong, and I need to be forgiven. And I'm asking you to do that. But you got to accept it, right? You got to accept forgiveness. You got to stop blaming everything on everybody else and start taking responsibility and says, it's me that needs the forgiving, not the people I think got me into this mess. I need to be forgiven by God. And I accept Jesus Christ as the payment to you, God, for my sins. There ain't nothing else you can give God that's going to impress him. There ain't nothing that you can give the God that's going to have him forgive you. It's just Jesus. And even that he gave to you. Right? He gave you Jesus for this purpose. But you got to believe. You got to believe that he died for you. And the only way you're going to believe that he died for you is if you've done something wrong to be dying for. That's your sin. I believe he died for me. And you raised him from the dead. If you don't believe that Jesus raised from the dead, you're not going to believe that you're going to raise from the dead. But I'd never seen dead people walking around. Wait till Jesus comes back. You're going to see everybody walking around that was dead. Please forgive me through Jesus Christ and help me to live a Christian life. You need help. You need his word to illuminate, to bring you from point A to point B. I want to see victory in this church. I want to see people coming up to me. And I've already got people calling me a pastor. I've been applying the word of God to my life. And you would not believe the changes that are happening in my life. Not as fast as I want them to happen. But for the things I'm still waiting on, God has given me peace and strength through it. He's upholding me with his righteous right hand. He's helping me. I don't have everything I want, but I've got everything I need. Because God is getting me through. And those are the kind of praise reports that I want to see. I want to see people strong in Christ, not because their circumstances are fixed, but because their spirits are fixed and their eyes are fixed on Jesus. Amen. Focus on him and your problems will disappear. Problems are what you see when you take your eyes off the solution. Jesus is the solution to your problems. Praise God.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.